would it help prior to Bo joining us just to review quick, Ken, the NOIF, or do you want to do that when he joins?
We could. There isn't much to say. We've got 8 questions in there that we'd like to get answers to. I understood that Heidi said she and Nick would work on preparing that response. So I think all we really have to do, there's a few little...
Bo Butler.
There we go.
Joined.
Hey, Bo.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us, Bo.
Oh, you're welcome. You all must be going pretty bananas at this point, huh? Getting ready for the
third. We went bananas a long time ago, mate.
Yeah, yeah. Now you've moved on.
Haven't
to
you noticed?
You've moved on to mangoes, star fruit, and durian at this point, I suppose. Well, it's only a month away. Then it'll be over.
Yeah, it'll be over.
Would you like to begin, or Ken, do you want to introduce the skeleton?
Sure. This is Ken. Hi, Bo.
Hello.
Hopefully you've had a chance to see this document. If not, if you could pop it open, we can... I think the general intent here is to just sort of crawl through it. It's not terribly complicated. There's 8 questions in round numbers that this notice of intent form seeks to capture. And all I did was take one that had already been submitted by another group, the cyber safety group, and I just sort of highlighted the places we need to make changes. There's some information at the top about name, organization, telephone numbers, and all that kind of stuff that needs to be put in. I suppose what we should really, just before we get through this, we should decide, is somebody going to have the pen on this?
I can do that.
Okay. You sure that's okay?
Yep. This is recorded as well, correct, Nick?
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, okay, good. I didn't hear feedback on that. That's great. Okay, so, all right, well then, Bo, one option that we have here is to just ask you a set of questions. I don't mind being the the MC.
Sure.
And Heidi's agreed to be the pen, and we've got a backup with an MP3, hopefully, ultimately. So we should have a pretty simple process here of getting this finished. Does that work?
Yeah, that sounds fine. I did look at the document. I mean, I've got it open here, and I have been looking at the, obviously the yellow text and such. So yeah, feel free to proceed however you think it would be best for you.
Great. Let's just go right down these few little items. Did I spell your name right?
Yep.
Okay, your company / organization, what do you want to put there?
Well, Consumer Reports WebWatch is probably best.
Consumer Reports WebWatch?
Yeah.
And Ken and Bo, this is Rob, if I can interject. Mm-hmm. That name doesn't have to be just yours. As we've seen other folks in some of the drafting they've done on other templates, you could have yourself and other members or other folks who are also interested in it listed, so don't feel like you're the only one on the hook necessarily.
And that's something we can maybe discuss during the call as well, is, who else have you reached out to or could you possibly, et cetera.
Yeah, we should talk about that.
Okay, but for now, this would certainly satisfy the requirement of the NOIF. We just need a name and an organization. How about a phone number?
914-378-2018.
Okay, and I guess fax number?
Everything the same except 2019.
And then an email address.
Yeah, I have that. I can fill this in later.
Perfect. Okay, good. And we'll put a submission date on it as appropriate. It'll probably be in the next couple of days, I hope. All right, so the first section talks about mission and purpose. I guess we didn't highlight this one. The tentative name for the constituency, do we have one?
Well, I guess I would suggest consumer constituency, although consumer is sort of a loaded word in some ways, I suppose. I mean, it has a political implication, obviously. But yeah, why not?
Okay. Again, it's tentative, right? We say the tentative name is consumer without an S, consumer singular constituency. Or do we want to
Actually, I would put it with an S,
consumer's constituency. Great. Then it says, I propose, this is you speaking, I propose it be included in the non-commercial stakeholder group because the focus of the constituency will be... This is where we have some creative writing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the interests of families, children, consumers, victims of cybercrime, religions and cultures. I mean, that's reasonable language. The new technology society, we need to carefully craft mechanisms. I mean, this is actually taken from another group's statement, right? We don't necessarily want to copy that.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the cybercrime. That's Cheryl Preston's.
Yeah, cyber safety, she calls it, right. I left the text in there. It could simply be highlighted and deleted, and we can replace it. Or I wasn't sure if there was some material in there that actually would apply. And we don't
I see. Okay.
Yeah, please
it
understand.
Would be better, you know what, it would be better if... it might be better if you just let me take a crack at writing something for that.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to just sort of parse and copy and adapt wholesale from another group like that.
Well, right. The goal of today's call was to save you the writing exercise, Bo.
I see. Okay. So
yeah. In other words, if we just interview you and we're recording your comments, you don't have to put them in beautiful English. We've got plenty of writers here that can do that for us.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
If you can just do a kind of brain dump on this, and we can sort it all out. So the idea here on the first question, 1-1, is just to say, okay, the name is this. We think it belongs in the non-commercial stakeholder group. And the answer to that question could largely just be because the interest is largely and exclusively non-commercial and includes things like, and you already mentioned it. If there's, and by the way, if there's another website or if there's another document or other places we could go to grab information, that would be helpful to have.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you could go to our website, but I don't know that you'd necessarily find. Well, if you went to our website and went to the About Us page, you may see some sort of language in our mission statement that may be of assistance. But basically, you know, the intended purpose of this constituency would be to give consumers a strong voice in an environment where, consumer choices.
So basically, to strengthen the voice, could we say something like that? To strengthen the voice or to ensure that the voice of consumers is heard?
Yeah.
Or is represented.
And I think it might be, this is Ken, I'm just editorializing now. It might be helpful to say in what ways or in what types of consumer, it's obvious that we're going to have the voices heard, but sort of what do we think that they say or what are they interested in?
Well, they're interested in...
especially as it relates to ICANN and domain name policy.
Well, I think really the best way to define it would be safety and stability concerns regarding the DNS. Major consumer issues on the internet tend to be related to fraud and spam and phishing and identity theft and all of those kinds of things, just the fulcrum of the consumer group within ICANN should be where, you know, those issues meet with ICANN's remit or whatever you want to say. You know what I mean? Like, those are the major consumer concerns when it comes to the internet, and although ICANN is not, you know, obviously some sort of policy body where all that stuff gets decided, sort of the junction of those concerns with ICANN's mission is what the group is most interested in.
So we think that gets a pretty good sense of the purpose, everybody?
Yeah, it sounds good.
Okay, great. Let's go on. The next question is, how will the addition of this constituency improve GNSO's ability to carry out its policy development responsibilities? In other words, why do we need this? Why is this extra constituency valuable to GNSO?
Well, I would say that if there's a non-controversial way to say it, I mean my perception of the NCUC is that they tend to be a bit focused on issues of free speech to the exclusion of other, not to the exclusion of, but they kind of represent the whole free speech thing. And to me, there are more components of the consumer voice that the GNSO should hear that aren't just related to free speech. They're related to DNS safety, stability, and security concerns. And the NCUC doesn't really involve itself with that.
Right.
Which is fine. You know, good for them. They do what they do, and, you know. A consumer perspective on those issues, I think, is what would be helpful to the GNSO to carry out its policy development.
I was just reading the one that was listed here because, and having talked to Cheryl Preston a little bit, I've been sort of working with her group a bit, she makes the point that, you know, although things like spam and content are not specifically ICANN issues, sometimes the technical functions have a way of impacting content.
Yes.
And so, yeah, so the concept would be to make sure that nothing in the ICANN technical infrastructure prevents governments or consumer groups or other people from dealing with content that they would like to deal with because of some other, because somebody in the NCUC made it impossible to do.
Yeah, and I guess the other issue is, I guess another issue I might specifically refer to in here would be upholding the registrar accreditation agreement, because a lot of the complaints we hear from users and consumers have to do with various aspects of their perception of the RAA not being enforced. So, you know, if you even want to include the RAA in here, you can.
Relate to non-compliance of the RAA.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we like where we are with that question?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
All right. Let's go on to 1-4. How will the establishment of this new constituency augment, complement, and otherwise contribute differential or unique value to ICANN structures? Some of these are like nuances of the same theme. One of the questions, too, would be, in my mind, is there enough differentiation between this consumer's constituency and the one that is actually represented in this NOIF that we're looking at?
Well, off the record on that issue, I've done a little investigating of Cheryl Preston's organization, and I might suggest that indeed we would need to differentiate, because if other consumer groups come to the conclusion that I think Cheryl's got a great point of view, but she kind of works for like a Mormon front group, so consumer organizations tend to sniff that stuff out really fast. And
Bo, what about mentioning the 8 consumer rights that all consumer organizations, at least the ones with CI, follow? You know, right to safety, right to information, right to choice.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Should we put those in and just list those? I mean, a lot of them, you know, right to consumer education, right to redress, things like that.
Yeah, that's good.
Rob, Ken, what do you think? Can we?
Well, that's important content. I'm wondering if it belongs in this question or the one before it. But yeah, the idea is great. Let's get that stuff in this NOIF for sure. This question's asking about a particularly what makes you know, one of the things that in ICANN is not to duplicate structures. So they're trying to create boxes that are mutually exclusive to the extent that we can. I think that's what this question is getting at. What makes this constituency different from others? Where's the differential advantage, I guess?
If I may.
Yes.
I was just going to make the point that I think we could say entirely fairly that mainstream consumer organizations are widely recognized as very important representatives of the perspective of the public interest in product and service safety, reliability. I mean, Bo, you could probably add a number of things. Having a voice in the GNSO for a discrete group that is very widely recognized as legitimate in who it represents is a key part of what differentiates it.
Yeah, I love that.
That's great.
Repeat that last bit, Nick. Never mind. So having a place will increase the legitimacy and accountability. Do you want to add that? Something about bottom up?
Yeah, and this is Ken. I think we can also simply say, and that sentence fragment and phraseology that was just articulated is not duplicative of other ICANN structures, especially within the GNSO. Then we might want to go one step further, and this is where Bo was a minute ago, and say we've also compared against existing or potential prospective NOIFs already submitted to the board and do not see any duplication there either, or if we do, what it is and how to deal with it.
Isn't it fair to say, though, that, in public policy formation, in certain areas, it has become customary for many governments to be obliged to consult their national consumer organizations as a matter of routine about certain classes of decisions as they affect their community, their population. I mean, in a way that's unique. That's not, you know.
Yeah, absolutely that's true. I think, Europe, I think Europe is an excellent example of that, and hopefully in the United States it'll get back to sort of the same type of thought. But yes, I think that's correct and very articulately put.
And that creates the difference, the uniqueness.
Yeah.
Good. Did you get it, Heidi?
Yes, I'm trying.
Well, we got that backup recording.
Yeah.
Are we satisfied okay with that we've captured 1.4 okay?
This is Rob. I have one question about that, and this is really for you, Bo, and Nick to address, and that is, do you anticipate or do you feel a need to talk about how this is important for the GNSO even though consumer groups are already participating in the ALAC? Is there any need for text that sort of talks about that potential relationship, or that folks may raise and ask questions about that?
Yeah, nice point.
I think it could be articulated. I think I know a way to articulate it. I don't know if Bo, you'd have to tell me if you think that this, how I would articulate it is true. But I mean, participating in a body which is meant to represent every single person who ever uses the internet is very different from participating as a discrete group who have a century-long tradition of representing the consumer voice, especially with respect to product safety, truth in advertising, in the broader sense of than just adverts. I mean, consumer protection organizations have a specific remit that is well understood. and is not analogous to the entire population of end users worldwide.
Yeah. Yes, I think that's true. I don't know how I would. Yeah, I mean, yes. Like, for instance, you know, a specific differentiation might be that, you know, within ALAC, it's perfectly reasonable to talk about issues like IPv4 to IPv6 transition or international IDNs and things like that. And as a general rule, consumer groups would not really have an opinion or a voice about that. It's a perfectly reasonable general issue for the worldwide internet user community to discuss, and those are very important issues. But in terms of the classical remit of a consumer organization, those really aren't places where we would choose to get involved.
And are places that you would choose to get involved ones that ALAC would typically not deal with?
They might deal with them, but they would probably deal with them differently.
Yeah, different perspective.
Very differently. Tell me if I'm wrong, Bo, but I know from time to time you've been frustrated by saying, well, why don't they get this as important in this specific way?
Yes.
Then I think that's getting closer to what Rob is asking about, and that we should probably highlight that in the document. There's a difference in the accent, or it's like we put the emphasis on a different syllable.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say that technically or accurately with respect to consumer voice, but that sounds like what we want to capture in this in a sentence or two in this answer.
Well, I guess consumer concerns in an ICANN. And, you know, consumer concerns in an ICANN environment with respect to the ALAC are but, you know, one of many, many issues that the ALAC has to deal with. And the ALAC has a limited amount of time and is volunteer. And, a separate constituency like this would give consumer issues a straight-ahead voice or a more... I don't know. I think Nick is a bit more articulate in this than I am.
A less filtered or more pure or something along those lines.
Less filtered.
More diluted or something.
Well, it also would allow, correct me again if I'm wrong, I know you will, Bob. It would also allow consumer organizations to represent the view of the world as they see it in a direct fashion without having to try and blend it with the multiplicity of voices that at large has to try and represent. And that very specific perspective based on, you know, a very professionalized consumer movement stretching over a century is an important voice and an important perspective in right.
It's a rifle shot versus a shotgun, or a laser beam versus a floodlight.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, it's
how do you get that?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
let's go with the gun analogy. That's better.
Sort of the
long tradition of consumer organizations. Yeah.
The practical application of that is that consumer organizations, which are traditionally stretched for resources, would benefit from a constituency where their issues are the key topics of focus.
Yeah, narrow,
like, they're
narrowly considered.
Yeah, I mean, to try to, you know, to try to explain to consumer groups what the ALAC is and what the ALS thing is and the ROLOs and have a consumer group go through some sort of sign-up process and whatnot is those are all things that kind of turn off consumer groups. Whereas if there's a constituency that has, you know, a demonstrably demonstrably critical role in, or a voice that's heard in policy making, and you know, it can be proven that it's part of a mechanism, then that's much more attractive than to, you know, have one strapped person at a consumer organization learn about the RALO structure and deal with IPv4 and IPv6 and IDNs and da-da-da-da-da-da.
All right. I would propose that we have a pretty good start on that answer, and we should move on. Any objection? Okay. The next.
If I drop, it's because I'm right at the border and I'm going into my lovely Swisscom dead zone, and I'll ring you back from my desk phone in a couple minutes.
Okay, great. Thanks, Nick. Section 2 deals with membership. First question is, what connection do you have to this proposed constituency? And part B is, what membership representation do you propose?
Well, I'm director of an internet-focused organization within one of the world's oldest and largest consumer organizations.
Yeah, all we have to do is name it, and that sentence was perfect, I think.
Well, not only that, it's also the model for the modern consumer organization, national consumer organization worldwide. Isn't it, Bo, really?
Yeah, well, yeah, it is. I mean, we started up, we helped found and start Consumers International, and still funded, I believe, to a small extent. So, yeah.
But Consumers Union is the largest consumers organization in the country, or in the world, isn't it? I mean, in a national standing.
Yes. The largest consumer organization in the world, and I don't know if it's the oldest, but it's been around for 75 years, so.
Do you want to articulate a sentence about your connection with ICANN and your experience with the organization?
Well, yeah, I was elected as one of the at-large North American region representatives to at-large in 2006, and was re-elected in 2007 to a two-year term. To the ally, so I've been on the ally for 2 years now, and I've got another year to serve.
But a very active.
A very active man. Yeah, very active, I guess. Well, I don't know if I want to.
How about a very active member, both in Naralo as well as the entire at-large community?
Sure, that would be fine.
Okay.
Do you want to make a statement at all as to what role you might hold in this proposed constituency?
I would like to play a role in inviting other consumer groups to join the constituency and to try to build its strength and organize it in a way that is appealing to consumer groups who are pressed for time and who want to have a big impact and without having to invest too much time.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah. I think that answers thoroughly the first question, the first part, and then the second one has to do with in today's structure, right? Without confusing alternative models, in today's structure, a constituency would have members that would include, that's the question we want to answer. Like, what kind of a membership representation do you see? And that can be expressed.
I guess it would be consumer groups and individuals concerned with user. I think we should have it open to individuals. I guess a question for Nick would be, there are, I think, three or four consumer groups, international consumer groups now in the at-large, none of whom have been particularly active, as far as I can recall. So I don't know if there would be, a crossover, if they would want to join this constituency and still stay in at large, or there's a consumer group from Jamaica, there's one from Greece, and there's one from
Slovenia.
In fact, you know,
yep.
Heidi, I assume you know Brita, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Kepka in Greece?
Yeah, I've never met anybody from Kepka or communicated with them, so.
You can probably leave the question as to, you can leave all the details, I think, out of the NOIF, other than to say that, you know, the details around organizational membership and eligibility criteria for both individuals and small and large organizations, you know, will be addressed in the charter document. I don't think you have to specify all that here. It's I think sufficient to say what we thought a little bit about it already. And back on the first paragraph, Heidi, I think it would be a good idea just to add something like, in addition to helping to organize the constituency, Bo, would it be fair to say you would also be involved in marshaling up the resources needed to create the petition and charter document?
Sure.
Great. Yeah. That's another, I think, strong statement that says, you know, there's somebody behind this constituency that's going to help get it organized and help get its charter and petition done. You'll have plenty of help from staff, too. By the way, I was including me in that, not just you, Heidi. I have to remember that when it comes to some of these groups, staff has a different connotation. Rob was kind enough to point that out.
Yeah, I don't have those kind of hang-ups, so don't worry about that.
Okay. I think that good. Everybody good on question 2.1? We're making good progress.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, 2.2. If this constituency will be formed from other pre-existing entities, please describe current memberships, including size, reach, and any public exposure offered.
Well, I suppose it could be argued that this constituency is being formed from at-large.
Rob, do you or Nick, do you see a way to does that potentially create any kind of alarm bell for anyone?
I have to think about that a little bit.
I suppose it just depends on how pre-existing entity is defined. I mean, in a sense, it's not being formed from any pre-existing entity in a general sense. But in an ICANN sense, I suppose you could argue that it is, although the question doesn't ask if it's being formed from a pre-existing entity within ICANN, so.
Well, just
Cheryl
because
Preston is a member of the NCUC, and
right.
Her answer is this constituency will not be formed from any pre-existing entity, so we're kind of in the same boat, yeah?
Good. Let's use that sentence.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I agree with Bo 100%. I think that Cheryl's answer to that is not entirely accurate because, yes, it is being, you know, members are coming from another group. And this, I think, touches on my previous question in terms of the future relationship between this constituency and the ALAC or, you know, and concerns community members may express about, you know, we hear two bites at the apple. We hear on the other side of the coin diluting the laser-like focus of the ALAC, from some. So I don't think you should feel shy about saying, hey, some of these members currently reside in the ALAC. We see that as a problem or, you know, something along those lines. And that may take more wordsmithing than just us on this call.
This is Ken. I remember reading specifically in the NCSG's charter document, right, the proposed, that, and I think even in their constituency charter, it might say something like, you know, membership in ALAC is not a, there's no prohibition against being in ALAC and also being a member of the non-commercial stakeholders group, or the NCUC, or in this case, the consumers. Is the intent not to duplicate the structure, or is it not to have members that have dual citizenship?
Joined.
Sorry about that, everyone.
I don't know that it's either, Ken. You know, as you and I having to claim some authorship of this question, I think it's partly an effort just to provide as much information as possible to the board and the community in terms of the context of this group, where it's coming from, what its goals and expectations are. And it does, it's not negative to say, you know, members of this may also be members of the ALAC, but as we noted in 1.5 above, that we view as that as a strength as opposed to a negative or something along those lines.
Yeah. Or even if we put this, if we said, while this constituency will not be formed from any pre-existing entity, we do recognize that some of its members may also be in the, coming from or in the ALAC. Some combination of all. Okay,
well,
that's good.
Yeah, and once it's drafted, I mean, Bo, when you can sort of look at it, and Nick as well, in terms of advice from you and Heidi, sort of give it a smell test in terms of anything that's written here. Obviously, we're assisting in the drafting process, and you know, you guys can polish it however you guys want to approach it that way. Again, I would not view this as a, you know, a check that if you don't answer it correctly, you're, you know, it's not going to be approved. So.
Right. The biggest reason for taking some attention to it is that, you know, it will be up on public. It'll be on the GNSO Improvements web portal, and it'll live in other places, and people will have a look at it, and, you know, it'll just be easier if it's nicely done. Let's go on to the next question, I think. It's number 2.3. What organizations/entities would be ineligible or ineligible to join?
Well, I think eligible organizations would obviously be consumer groups and any organization that has an interest in representing consumer issues as they apply to ICANN. I think groups that should be ineligible would be industry groups, groups that take funding from interested parties within the ICANN world. In other words, if a couple of registrars got together and decided to create an organization called, Consumers for a Free Internet or something, that we need to do some due diligence and not allow groups like that to join. I'm not saying the registrars would do that. I'm just making that up. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, what's actually written here is pretty generic, except for a couple little spots. Could maybe just lift some of the language that's in the answer that Cheryl wrote here.
Could we make? I mean, is it worth making reference that any organization that would not be accepted by other consumer organizations as a consumer representative wouldn't be eligible? So, I mean, you know, if CI wouldn't accept you, would that be a worthwhile additional benchmark or a descriptive benchmark?
Well, Nick, there are organizations within TACD that are not members of Consumers International. Now, whether that is because they weren't accepted or they haven't applied, I don't know.
Well, each sort of umbrella has its own set of filters. I think the TACD is pretty strict, in a sense. I think you do need that benchmark in there.
How about by other professional consumer organizations? Umbrella group, something like that?
Something like that, yeah. Like, for instance, CADNA, I mean, some people could say CADNA is a consumer group, and I'm sure they would tell you that they are, but the TACD would not for instance, accept CADNA, and neither would CI.
Okay.
Is there something particular about what they do or how they are that makes them ineligible that could be cited here?
Or is there a list somewhere of the eligibility requirements that we could just pull from?
Well, the basic one for TACD is just, do you accept industry? Do you accept funding from industry? And if you do, you don't get in.
Okay, so that again, you don't have to write all of the eligibility criteria here. This is just a general statement, and so that might be enough right there to just say if funding groups that take funding from industry would generally not be eligible.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Okay for 2.3. All right, let's go to 2.4. How would the constituency adequately represent its membership on a global basis?
I would say, you know, through the network of consumer groups, through the international network of consumer groups already established by organizations such as Consumers International and the Transatlantic Consumer Dialogue.
Do you think it would have a pretty wide geographic representation at the outset? That's going to lead into the next question, too, which has to do with expansion and recruitment. But do you think it would have a pretty broad representation geographically?
Well, I'm not sure it would at the outset, but in theory, it should have a broad geographic representation.
Okay. Well, maybe we could can you characterize what the representation would be sort of geographically, as it would start?
We've got CU and ACAN, the Australian umbrella for consumer organizations related to telecommunications policy.
Okay, and also there are two in Europe. So it's basically North America. There's one in Australia, that's Asia Pacific. So we have two in Europe. We have what was the one in? Is it in the Caribbean?
The Jamaica. Yeah, the Jamaican.
Okay, which one is that? What is that one called?
Is that Carlton?
No, it's the Jamaican National Consumer Organization. It's chartered by the government, but it's.
So that's Lacarello.
Yeah, and didn't Koss want to join? John Levine and the Consumer Alliance Against Unsolicited Commercial Email?
Yes, and I suspect probably Canoe John would want to join. So that's three groups in North America.
Well, just FYI, Heidi informed me that last group may be looking to form its own constituency.
Oh, really?
But if there are combined efforts and they make a stronger group that's more likely to be approved, then that's probably even a better situation. I don't know if you want to reach out to them or not.
Well, it would be a stretch to call them a consumer group, to be honest.
Okay.
It's like two people.
Father and son.
I mean, there are other people who work, you know, but I mean, the core of it is two people and you know, bunch of concerned people on a mailing list, which is fine for at large. But
Bo, what about reaching out to the Consumers Federation? Because they're part of the TACD that work on the intellectual property working group.
Well, and InfoSoc, Susan heads up the InfoSoc working group at the moment.
Yeah, actually, in fact, now that the head of our Washington office has been fired, I can sort of feel free to go around and talk to some of these people. Yeah, sure, CFA would be good.
Now, that subject would probably fit nicely into the next question, which maybe we've already segued to, which is what plans for recruitment and expansion do you envision? So we have a pretty good sense of how it would start and what its membership would look like and what nation or what geographic regions would be represented, and it's broad. And so the next question is, who else would you invite?
You know, we could we could put Nick, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I mean, couldn't we put something in here about, you know, one of the first actions we might take would be to follow up with the consumer groups whom we reached out to, or whom Nick and Dave Piscatello reached out to in December of 2000 and whenever it was, when, you know, the general feedback from them was, this sounds really good, but we don't really understand what you're talking about, kind of thing.
Yeah.
That was, you know, that was everybody from CFA to TACTI to Electronic Frontier Foundation was there, and they were kind of enthusiastic. So I think if we went back to organizations like that with something like this, they might go, oh, that makes more sense.
Just so you know, Ken, and probably Rob knows this too, but consumer organizations, you know, Bo is very much unusual in my experience, not just in this way, but in that I haven't found that consumer organizations are generally willing on their own without any other consumer groups to participate in some new area of policy. My experience is that they tend to like to run together. And
They love forming groups, and but they also like campaigns. They really like something they can put their, you know, teeth into, and then report back to their national constituencies, or report in their magazine.
Yeah, they also like to find ways to exclude other people and bubble and.
You know, in this last question, we haven't mentioned Consumers International.
Well, I mean, the thing is that the last I heard from CI was from, you know, we had this conversation briefly.
Yes.
I don't know how interested they are in internet. I mean, the guy who I was talking about earlier, Gene Kimmelman, left. He went over and ran CI on an interim basis for like 5 months, and then came back here and got handed his walking papers. So I don't know who. I mean, I don't even know who's running CI at this point.
It's this new guy, Juiced, isn't it?
Same guy that the same Juiced that's on the mailing list?
No, Juiced Martins, who comes from Oxfam.
Really?
This was in October of last year.
Well, that can't be the same Juiced that's on the at-large list.
No, it's Juiced Martins.
Oh, okay.
And that's Jupe, by the way.
Oh, Jupe. Sorry about that.
Well, this is Ken again. Did we complete the mission?
Mission accomplished.
Wow, at the bottom of the page.
There are no more questions. Although, if Rob and I have some additional time, we can make some more up.
Well, can I ask this question? I mean, what is the? And I think Nick was in the Swiss-tail dead zone when this came up earlier, slightly. But I mean, what is creating this thing? What kind of impact does it have on ALAC? Does it mean that the consumer part of ALAC kind of goes away, and what, or does Cheryl sort of see the creation of this as an adjunct or an add-on, or I haven't quite figured that out.
I don't think it goes away. I think it's just you know, like we were talking about earlier, you know, it allows consumers to put forward their perspective without needing to translate it into the whole world's internet user speak, or to have to negotiate and result in something that's not really what a mainstream consumer organization would like to say.
Does that mean the ALAC should stop recruiting consumer groups to join it?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that it depends on what the consumer organization in question wants you know, wants to try and accomplish.
Yes.
You know, maybe there are some people out there who really are interested in some of these broader questions.
I mean, absolutely. I cannot agree with you more that, you know, there really are, in a way, I see them as two different types of consumer organizations. I mean, we have both, like, you know, the Web Watch and the ones that are working directly, who are advanced, who are capable of dealing with these technical questions. And then we have the far larger number of consumer organizations throughout the world that are dealing with, you know, product safety and real consumer rights issues that would definitely want to be in the at-large.
Well, and also, GNSO only deals with generic top-level domains. And, of course, in most of the world, people use, you know, there are many countries where predominantly they use country code names. And the GNSO can't say anything about country code names. For that, you'd need at large to say something.
I see.
It's another laser beam. Nick, I'm not sure if you heard Heidi's question at the beginning as to whether this was being recorded. I did not hear an operator come on and say the recording has been started, and I'm
it
not
is,
sure.
Though.
Huh?
It is.
Okay, good.
Partly because you guys joined a call already in progress.
Oh, so this is a continuation of the MP3 that was already started?
Yeah, but we'll just split it up.
Okay.
We'll just split it.
Oh, all right.
So is this conversation on the record and it's going to get, like, distributed to people?
No.
Oh.
It's just... I mean, you know, I can send you a version of it, Bo, if you want to, but, I mean, it will basically just be used so, you know, if there were snippets of the conversation that people think could be used in the text, they can go listen to it to find out what it is that was said.
Yeah, we were...
But we won't post it anyway.
Okay, yeah, because I've been a little on the collegial and open side here, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just when Nick starts articulating those brilliant sentences, we couldn't write them down that fast.
Oh, God.
Most of them, Nick, but, yeah, we'll need to work this out. So what are the next steps in terms of timing?
Great question.
I think,
go ahead, Rob.
Well, I was going to say, I think what somehow Heidi, Ken, and I will collaborate on getting this down into a written form that we can then share with you, Bo, to take a look at, evaluate, share with, you know, others in that community, if you would like to do so, to get their input, and then get that shared formally, once you're all happy with it, with the GNSO community. You know, you'd submit it to Denise, we'd post it, share it with the board and the GNSO community. That would trigger a number of potential actions going toward Mexico City in terms of an invitation to speak at the GNSO meeting in Mexico City to talk a little bit about the proposal, the opportunity for some increased standing in terms of some of these ongoing transition and council structure activities. So it would trigger a number of different things, but in the short term, I think it's just getting another document into your hands that you can attack, polish, and then submit.
Rob, you know, just for the sake of having something to throw at, the board meets on Tuesday, right?
Yeah. And
today is the last day. I guess we have, if we thought we could get this document prepped sufficiently by Monday, could it be given to the board on 3rd or not? It's too late.
I mean, the board normally collects stuff well before. If it came in prior to that day, Denise could say during her update to the board, oh, and today we just received another. But from a standpoint of effectiveness, sharing it with the board, once we've got it and we can get it posted, then we'll, you know, as I did with Cheryl Preston's NOIF, I circulate it to the board and to the members of the GNSO community. So I don't know that that would... have a huge, you know, I don't think we should use the Tuesday deadline to rush something through where another couple of days would make it more polished and valuable.
Okay, that's why I brought it up. So we, you know, at this point we could target the Mexico City meeting for board recognition or board, under, you know, notification to the board?
Well, no. I mean, I'd notify the board next Wednesday. I mean, I just said post a message to their list.
Oh,
here
I
it is. Here it is attached, and all that stuff. It doesn't. Remember, this is just a notice of intent. This doesn't require any board action. It doesn't require anything from you, Bo, beyond this. You could look at it, start talking with people, and decide, you know, I really don't want to do this anymore. It's only throwing a marker, anteing up, so to speak, but it's still not the official document. And the next step is really the tougher one, which is, all right, if you're serious about this, now let's sit down and crank out a charter that's going to define how the group operates going forward. And that's a little bit heftier weight to move up the hill, but certainly doable. And we're more than happy to help in that regard.
And there are plenty of models to look at to grab language and
sure.
to grab ideas from. And staff built a template that has a whole slew of questions, not unlike these, that are at a much lower level of granularity to aid in that process.
We have more models every day.
Well, that sounds good to me.
Super. So then yeah, Heidi's got the pen, so I guess, Heidi, you'll create the first shot at it.
Yeah.
And then you can circulate it to those of us involved, and then we'll hash it out, get it to Bo in the next week or so, sounds like.
So should I have that to you by the end of the day, or?
That would be great.
I'll try.
If you can, that would be super. You know, then share it with perhaps me and Ken and Nick.
Yes.
And then when we think it's in good shape, Bo, we'll get it to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be fine. I will try to move it quickly when I see it.
Well, we did that in an hour. Excellent job, everybody.
Great. Thank you very, very much, Bo.
Welcome.
Yeah,
I may be, well, I'll go ahead and add, you know, the material with your information, Bo, and the website information that is required in one of the questions, et cetera.
Okay.
Okay?
Well, thank you, and, you know, this sounds interesting. Let's see what happens. All right.
All right, thanks a lot,
everybody.
Thanks, bye.
Okay, bye-bye.